1973, 6 a.m., this is the Bissonnette House. What's your name?
William Charging.
William Charging?
Yes.
What'd you come here for?
I was sent here by Dick Wilson and Sonny Janice.
And who?
Sonny Janice.
Who's Sonny Janice?
Huh? Sonny, Sonny Dion.
Sonny Dion.
Yeah.
How'd you happen to see them this hour of the day?
I was down at Dick Wilson's house.
Who was?
Sonny Janice and Dick Wilson.
Sonny Janice or Sonny Dion?
Sonny Dion. Oh, man, I keep thinking of Sonny Janice because I saw him today.
You saw Sonny Janice today, but was he involved in this?
No, man. It was Sonny Dion.
Okay. How'd you happen to get to Dick Wilson's house at this hour of the morning?
I was walking up by Joe Janice's house and Billy Wilson picked me up.
Who?
Billy Wilson.
Is Billy Wilson in town now?
Yeah.
That's Dick Wilson's son?
Yeah.
Is he allowed to be in town?
Yeah. I don't know, man. He's on parole.
Yeah. I thought one of the conditions was that he had to stay out of the state.
He was paroled down here before, but I don't know if he... I think he got his parole got transferred to Albuquerque.
Uh-huh. What time were you walking around when you saw him?
I don't know, it's about 11 o'clock from Arizona.
At night?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you drinking?
Yeah.
What were you drinking?
Wine.
How much did you drink?
I don't know. 3 or 4 pints, something like that.
3 or 4 pints?
Yeah.
What was it?
Wine.
What kind of wine?
Muscatel.
That's bad for you. Well, so at about 11:30, you say?
11.
11, you saw who?
Billy Wilson.
Yeah. How'd you happen to see him?
I was walking up the hill. I was going to go borrow some cigarettes from my uncle. And he pulled up, asked me if I wanted to go to Rush Hour with him.
Who's your uncle?
Chicken Charging.
And Billy asked if you wanted to go to Rushville with him?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I told him all right.
All right?
Yeah.
And then did you go to Rushville with him?
Yeah.
Was Billy driving a car?
Yeah.
What kind of car?
That one out there.
What is it?
I don't know. It's a Buick, I think.
Yeah. What color?
Oh, I don't know. It's dark outside.
How old's Billy?
19, I think.
Did you go to Rushville with him?
Yeah.
Who went?
Me and him and a couple of his buddies that I don't know.
Who are they?
I don't know.
Well, what do they look like?
There's one kind of fat, hefty dude, and there's the other one. I guess it's his brother.
His brother?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know. They call him Blaze or something.
Blaze? So it was just the four of you?
Yeah.
Where were you sitting in the car?
In front.
Were you driving?
No.
You're the front right side, huh?
Yeah.
Who was driving?
Bill.
Who was in the back seat?
Blaze and his brother.
When you got into the car, who was in the car?
Just them three.
The three of them were in the car?
Yeah.
Where were they sitting in the car when you saw them?
There was one in the front and one. Oh, there was two in the front and one in the back.
And so when you came in, what happened to the guy in the front?
He got in the back.
Then you got in the front, huh?
Yeah.
Did you go to Rushville?
Yeah.
You have to speak a little louder. I can't quite hear you.
Yeah.
And, what'd you do in Rushville?
Just went up there and got some beer.
Where?
I don't know. Some liquor store up there.
What did it look like?
It's right by the swimming pool.
By the what?
By the swimming pool in Rushville.
Swimming pool. How much beer did you get?
We just got a case.
A case of beer?
Yeah.
Who bought it?
That dude in the back named Blaze.
Yeah. And then where'd you put the beer?
In trunk.
And then what'd you do?
We got a six-pack out and we started driving back and then
we
went
down
the
bottom. You got a six-pack out of the case?
Yeah.
And did what?
Went back to Pine Ridge.
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Huh?
You got a six-pack out and then what?
Went back to Pine Ridge.
You brought beer into the reservation?
No, we stopped in White Clay. By the time that By the time we got to White Clay, that six-pack was gone. The rest of it was in a trunk.
Who was driving?
Bill.
Was he drinking when he was driving?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He was. How much did he drink when he was driving back from Rushville?
A bottle of bottled beer.
A bottle?
Yeah.
Or a can? What was it?
It was a bottle, one of these snub-nosed bottles.
Snub-nosed bottle. What brand was it?
Bud.
Huh?
Bud.
Budweiser? Okay. So then you, he drove back, and you finished the six-pack by the time you got to White Clay?
Yeah.
And then what? Where'd you go?
Then we went down to Bill's house.
To who?
Bill.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, who was there?
Dick and Sonny. There's another dude there, but I don't know his name.
When you say Dick, you mean Dickie Wilson?
Yeah.
And what happened to the case of beer in the trunk?
We brought that out and we put it in Bill's room.
You put it in Billy Wilson's room in Dickie Wilson's house?
Yeah.
Case of beer?
Yeah.
Except it had a six-pack missing. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, is that right?
Yeah.
Did Dickie Wilson see you carry the beer in?
No.
Where was Dickie Wilson?
He was in the kitchen.
He was in the kitchen when you carried the beer in? Who carried the beer in?
I did.
You carried it in. You put it in Billy's room?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Went in.
To where?
In the living room. Ate.
To eat?
Yeah.
Were you drunk by then?
No, not yet.
But you had some wine by then?
Yeah.
And one bottle of beer or more?
About two or three.
Two or three out of the six-pack?
No, on the way up there, they had some beer, but they didn't have. They only had about a six-pack, so I drank one can.
Oh, you had a six-pack on the way to Rushville?
Yeah.
Was Billy drinking then, too?
I don't know. He was driving. I couldn't see in the front.
You were in the front?
No, I was in the back when I first got in.
Okay. Okay, now you're in the...
Wait, now, I'm all confused, man. You're getting me mixed up.
Okay, well, think now. I don't want to get you mixed up. I'm just asking what happened. Anyway, when you got into Wilson's house, did you talk to Dickie Wilson?
No, not first.
How long were you there?
I don't know, about an hour. Something like that. Hour and a half.
And did you talk to him at all?
No, not at first. We were sitting there drinking in Bill's room.
Who was in Billy's room?
I and Billy and Blaze and his brother.
Yeah, and what happened?
We were sitting there drinking, and I told Bill I need a drink of water, and I went in there, and Dick said, "What you doing?" So I said, "You know, I told him nothing much." I just started talking to him, and he said, "What you doing down here?" So I said, "I'm trying to find a ride back to Cheyenne." So I said, "You need money to get back?" So I said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd you like to earn $50 right quick, like?"
Who said that?
Oh, Sonny.
Sonny said, "How would you like to earn $50?
Yeah.
And what'd you say?
So I said, "All right, I gotta get back and see my parole officer."
What are you on parole for?
Rape.
Rape?
Yeah.
Where did the rape case take place?
In Pine Ridge.
When was that?
In 71.
Yeah, okay. So what'd you say when he offered you $50?
I told him I'd take it. He said, "Drive my car out there and just see how many guys are out there."
Who said that?
Sonny and Dick both.
Well, whose car is it?
Dick's.
So who said to drive my car out there?
He said, drive the car. They didn't say my car.
Who said that?
They was both talking at the same time. It's like, I don't know, man, I was messed up.
Was Dickie Wilson one of the people who told you to come out here?
Dick, I don't know, it's either him or Sonny.
Were they both in the room at the same time?
Yeah, they were both talking at the same time, so I can't.
Who gave you the keys to the car?
They were sitting on the table and said, "There's a key," so I just picked them up and came out.
Who said those were the keys?
Sonny. Sonny and Dick. They just said, "There's a key, it's good."
So where'd they tell you to go?
They said, out to Cheyenne Creek.
To where?
Cheyenne Creek.
Well, you knew what the situation was here, right? I mean, you knew that the family that had just lost Peter Bissonnette, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what did they want you to do out here?
Just see how many guys are out here. Just, you know, just see, check it out and see if there's any trouble going on out here.
Made trouble.
Yeah.
Do you think you can drive Dickie Wilson's car in here where people are mourning because one of Dickie Wilson's cops killed Pedro Bissonette and there's going to be no trouble? What'd you think?
I don't know. I wasn't thinking.
Do you think Dickie Wilson sent you out here because he expected you to get beat up and then he wanted to arrest people for that?
I don't know.
Do you think he really cared anything about you if he sent you out here?
Uh-uh.
Did he give you the 50 bucks?
Not yet. He said, when you come back, I'll give you 50 bucks. Then you can buy your bus ticket and go back to Cheyenne. Because, shit, man, I don't want to get sent back.
Sent back where?
To Englewood.
Well, nobody's going to do anything to you here. You're just going to be asked to leave. The car has already been driven off the property because it doesn't belong here. And you're going to be asked to walk down that road and get in the car and drive out of here.
You know damn well if I try to walk down that road, someone's just going to try to shoot me.
Nobody's going to try to shoot you, but if you want, we'll give you a ride down the road. Would you rather have a ride to the car?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you a ride to the car. What do you think about Wilson doing this?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know, I'm drunk, I can't even think straight.
You're drunk? Dickie Wilson gave you a car to drive when he knew you were drunk?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But Billy Wilson was drinking on the reservation, he was drinking in a car, he was drinking while he was driving. They brought back a case of beer into Billy Wilson's room in Dickie Wilson's house. And then when Dickie Wilson saw you were drunk, he told you to come out here and drive while you were drunk. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's the tribal president, huh?
I guess.
Well, nobody's going to hurt you here. You're just going to be asked to leave. You don't belong here. You're not a guest in this house, so we're going to ask you to leave. And since you want a ride, they'll give you a ride down the road to where the car is. And if you're too drunk to drive, then walk into town.
I can drive.
You want to drive, drive, and bring the car back to Dickie Wilson. Where do you live?
In Cheyenne.
In Cheyenne?
Yeah.
You used to live in Pine Ridge?
Yeah.
What's your family's name?
Charlie.
Do they live in town, Pine Ridge?
My brother lives here, and I got one in Cheyenne, and two sisters in Cheyenne.
What's your brother's name here?
Joe.
Okay, well, they're going to ask you to leave now. Are you ready to go?
Who's going to take me over there?
Somebody will give you a ride. You ready to go?
No, man, you got to come. I don't...
Huh? Nothing's going to happen to you. We're not goons here. You don't have to worry about that. Nobody's going to hurt you. The people who do the shooting are the Wilsons and their goons and the BIA police. Nobody's going to shoot you. Nobody's going to hurt you. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. This is 2 minutes to 3 a.m. on October 18th, 1973 at Gladys Bissonette's house in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. What is your name?
Verlaine Ice.
I'm sorry?
Verlaine Ice.
How do you spell it?
V-E-R-L-E-A-M-I-C. My last name is Ice, I-C.
Yeah, okay. And would you tell me again what happened this evening?
Well, this afternoon about 3 o'clock I went to see Mrs. Galichek over at OCS, but the buses were there, so I turned on and came back, and I went to White Clay. I drove around over there, and I was with, in my car, I was driving my own car, and I was with Teresa Medicine, her husband Tony, and Vicky Lilmon. We went over and we made a U-turn over there on the other side of White Clay. Pedro, we saw Pedro in a white car. He waved at us, so we waved back, and he was with a guy with a black hat and mustache and dark glasses. So we waved and we came back. He was getting in the car, but we just drove on. That's when he said, Pedro, Pedro, we said, Pedro, and we came on. We just waved at him and everything, we came on. Then about after we came back and around 5, we just parked downtown and about 5 o'clock, there was sirens going and a lot of commotion in town. So we figured, we took these people back, and I picked her up on the street and said, let's go find out what's going on. Bonnie, White Butterfly. So we drove out towards that way because that cop car was coming on east and went on to towards the hospital. So we went in here, they went out, so we went and followed them clear down to that Mormon church or Pavia church over there.
Yeah, Evangelist.
Mm-hmm. We turned on over there and everybody. And so we turned on and came back and here there's about 4 cop cars. We saw 4 cop cars on the way. There was a green one and there's 2 white ones. They came and they just park here and there. So we followed them and there was a lot of cars over there, so we followed and came back in. And I came back straight over here to Gladys and asked, what's going on? I said, there must be something going on because those cops are shook up. And they drove into those canyons. So I said, and she called somebody. And she said, there must be something going on. I said, those everybody's shook up. So she said, Pedro got in trouble again. Try to arrest him.
Who said that?
Gladys. Uh-huh. And so the cops are looking for him now. So they said he was in trouble and the cops are looking for him. So we just talked to her and visited. And I went over to my sister's and I asked her, and she said, no, we didn't hear anything, but we hear all the sirens in town. So nothing happened. I was supposed to go to classes, but I said, I'm just going to drop those classes. I'm too tired anyway. I went to bed at 8 o'clock and at my house, and I got 2 witnesses there. Her
is Bonnie.
Bonnie White Butterfly and my sister-in-law Ella Marie Ice. So we went. I went to bed early in here. Somebody honked the horn, so I told Bonnie. I said, "Why don't you answer the door? Somebody's out there." And she said, "No." They said, "No." She said, "It's Goldie." So I said, "Why don't you tell her to come in?" "No, she wants you to go out there." So I said, "Why don't you tell her I'm in bed? I want her to come in." She said, "She wants you to go to Bateson with her." So I said, "Okay." And I got up and got dressed, and we went. And we heard the sirens coming, so we drove out to east. And we thought maybe we might see an accident in here by Johnson Holy Rock's turnoff. We saw flashing red lights, so we slowed down. I said, just slow down, just keep going slow. And she said, something must be going on, an accident or something. But by the time we approached that place, well, there was a white Ford facing towards the north on the approach towards Johnson's place. And then there was 3 cop cars on this side, and there was one on that side. And they had a flashlight, and they told us to go on. So we just slowed down and went out in here. There's some cops there, and they had some tape measurements, and they were measuring something from the ditch.
From the ditch?
Mm-hmm.
From the ditch.
Mm-hmm. To the car. And there was about 3 guys down there in that ditch. It's kind of a deep down like that, and they were sitting down there, and this one was measuring like this, so we just looked at it, and we went on.
How far down from the road were they in the ditch?
They were down there, you know, there's a, might be a culvert, and it was a ditch, and there were some guys down there, and they were taking some measurements there, and they were all BIA cops. And so we went on, and Goldie seen it too, and so did Bonnie.
Goldie who?
Well, Little Crow and Bonnie White Butterfly and myself, mm-hmm. Just the 3 of us. So we went to Batesland, and we got some gas at Sweats, and we went on to Kyle, and we came back around Sharps, and we came back, and there was a, on the way coming in, we saw this, this plane coming and landing, so we stopped at the same place where we saw that accident. We stopped there. We didn't see no blood spots or anything.
Was the white Ford there?
No cars. The white Ford wasn't there. Huh? It wasn't there. There was nobody around.
What time was that about?
When we came back?
Yeah.
What time is it now? Must be about half hour ago.
Yeah.
Half hour ago. It's now a little after 3, so it was...
About 2. Because we went straight to the hospital right then, and we wanted to find out. And she was crying. She said something must have happened. A close relative or friend. Because I had a feeling. So we went up there and we found out. And here it says Pedro got killed. So we didn't even go any place. We came straight here. But everybody's, they both went in, and I stayed in the car. In the hospital. Okay. So we came straight over here, and
as a janitor,
we said, let's go tell Gladys first thing. So here she was already.
Okay. And your name is?
Bonnie.
White Butterfly?
Yeah.
And you just heard what you just said?
Yeah.
And is that your recollection, too, that it happened just that way?
Yeah.
Is there anything you could add to it?
No. I had a feeling something, you know, something was going on, you know, there something terrible happened. And so I asked, you know, Goalie, that was her car. And so I said, Goalie, I said, you know, could you stop at the hospital? And she said, okay. And so we went up there, and me and her went in, and my aunt, Verlene, she stayed in the car, so we went in. And they let us in. And so we went in. And I said, what if, you know, they wanna, you know, if they ask us to see the doctor, I didn't want to see the doctor. She, neither did she, you know. We just wanted to find out what was going on. Yeah. You know, all the people, you know, all the people up at the hospital.
Who was in the hospital?
No, I don't know. Just me and her went in here,
yeah.
And here the janitor opened for us. And so we went in, and we asked the janitor what happened. We said, what's going on around here? I said,
do you know the janitor's name?
No, I don't know the janitor's name. But we asked the janitor what's going on here, and he said, don't you know? So we said, no, that's what he came up to find out. And here he said, well, he said, you know, he said, Pedro Bisnet got killed. Yeah. Oh, man, I just broke down right there, and I just ran out. And she followed me. Goalie, she followed me out, and we just ran out crying, and we told her. And we got in the car, and we just went down to Gladys's house.
Yeah.
Here it is, we came here. Yeah, and this is how it is now.
We couldn't believe it.
We just couldn't believe it, you know.
We just saw him this evening.
Yeah, we saw him this evening. We just couldn't believe it.
Okay. You heard the statements just made by Lena and by Bonnie?
Yeah, I could tell what I see in the truth. Yeah. Well, Everlone, he'll call me. He wants to go after him, so I picked up Verlene and Bonnie to go with me, and on the way going, before we left, I heard two sirens.
So before you left?
Uh-huh.
About what time?
Well, I stopped at Verlene's. It was about 10 o'clock.
You heard the sirens at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. So I told Verlene.
Could you tell where they were coming from?
From east. So I told Verlene, I said, did you hear two sirens? And here she said, yeah. I wonder what's going on. So was going in, you know, that Johnson Holy Rock turnoff. There's three cop cars standing there. And I didn't see that car because I was driving.
Yeah. Were the three all on the same side of the street?
No. Two parking on the approach like that, mm-hmm. and one on the other side.
Yeah.
I know they're all BIA policemen. And they told us to go straight on, so I was going real slow. So I went to Switz, and I got some gas, went on to Herbert, and they said he was in the hospital. So we came back, and on the way coming, that plane was landing. So we stopped at the hospital, and there's four of them in there.
Four who?
I know there's four persons in there. One of them was to open a door for us.
Oh, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So we walked in, and Bonnie said, what's going on? And I said, don't you know that Pedro got killed?
Yeah.
So we started screaming and crying, came out.
When you passed the police cars, the three police cars, did you see any police officers doing anything?
Mm-mm, because I didn't even pay attention because I was driving.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
lawlessness on the Pine Ridge Reservation, be it BIA or Coons. On Monday, October 22nd, 1973, Russell Means, candidate for the presidency of the Oglala Sioux Tribe at Pine Ridge, and those people that believe in American Indian treaty rights will converge on Pine Ridge, South Dakota to deal with the outlaws of the United States of America.
That's it. This is October 19th, 1973. Conference with Gail Sullivan, Mark Lane, and Dennis Ickes in the BIA conference room. The first thing I want to say, Dennis, is that we are being harassed by the BIA police. Today we were stopped by two BIA police officers at the scene of the shooting, the murder of Pedro Bissonnette. And they drove up after we'd been there about 5 minutes, and the driver of the car said that he had been told...
Excuse me.
Sure. Okay, as I was saying, we were harassed today when we were at the scene of the shooting by a BIA police car which came up. The driver said he wanted the names of each of us who were there. We were parked over the road into the driveway, Johnson Holy Rocks driveway. I asked the police officer why he wanted our names, and he said he was ordered to come out and see who was at the scene. And he demanded our names, and I asked if we had violated any law, and he said no, and I said I was not going to give him our names. And he waited until we started to leave and then preceded us in toward Pine Ridge. We were on the outskirts of Pine Ridge. He put his red lights on, pulled us over, and said, "You want to see my driver's license?" He identified himself as James Big Crow, the driver. I asked the person with him what his name was. He said Jamie. He said his name is spelled J-A-M-I-A, Big Crow. And he said he was a BIA police officer. And I asked him, the name of the other officer who was standing alongside him. He refused to give me his name. Then I asked Big Crow if he would tell me the name of the other police officer. And he refused to tell me the name of the police officer. His name, however, was Philip Clifford. I saw him a few minutes later in the court, as a matter of fact, in the case which Ethel Marable was going to represent a defendant at. And he walked in there, and he was identified as Philip Clifford in the courtroom, just coincidentally. And when they stopped us at the side of the road, they demanded, Big Crow demanded my driver's license.
Big Crow?
Yeah, which I showed to him. Now, as you know, there is a federal court order on the question of harassment of us on this reservation. And we're representing a number of defendants, in addition to investigating the murder of Pedro Bissonnette. And we don't want any more harassment here. And we're not going to stand for any more harassment here.
Let me advise you that Dell Eastman has been notified about this incident. We learned about it right afterwards. In fact, the officers themselves admitted to having stopped you out at the scene. And Dell Eastman admonished them as to the restraining order and the terms of it and so on and so forth. And I'm certain those officers will not bother you again.
Well, of course, I've been hearing those assurances, as you know, not only since the day you first arrived here, but for some time before that. And during that period of time, I've been kicked by marshals, beaten by marshals, falsely arrested on a couple of occasions, and harassed again today. And I'm happy to hear the assurances, but I'd like to see the harassment stop, in addition to having the assurances that the harassment's going to stop. That's part of it. The other part of it is, as you know, people are very concerned about the murder of Pedro, and people are going to be coming here from all over the country in the next few days. And I believe there will be a wake or various other ceremonies, probably starting on Monday. And if there are going to be roadblocks and harassment of people coming in here, there's going to be a lot of trouble.
The wake is anticipated for Monday?
I think so. There's going to be a lot of trouble. People are really upset about a number of things. The body was stolen from the hospital. Even the nurses in the hospital didn't know that the body was being taken, didn't know it had been taken. They went down there to look for the body. It was gone.
You knew there was a court order, though?
Who knew that?
Oh, I don't know. I said, do you know that there was a court order for the autopsy?
I know that William Clayton, who is the U.S. attorney here, told Leonard Cavese, an attorney at the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Offense Committee,
that the only thing that would be done with the body were aligned with the wishes of the family, and that the body would not be removed anywhere that the family did not want the body moved. And as he was saying that, he was getting a court order, and at that time the family had already prepared a statement saying that the body should be moved to Rapid City under my supervision, and that we were going to arrange for an autopsy with a private pathologist. And while we were getting those assurances from Clayton, he was getting a court order and spirited the body into Scotts Bluff. So I know that. I know that.
That's between you and Clayton. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is it was a court order. I came to after that occurrence.
And the evidence.
Where's that weight going to be? I assume it's going to be on the reservation.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on the reservation. And there'll be people coming here from all over, I believe. Okay.
One more thing, Mr. Hickey's. It's customary, the rules and regulations are that they're to get the consent of immediate relations for an autopsy or an examination or anything like that. And they did not even sign the body out, which is against the public health.
We went to the hospital. I went to the hospital with Pedro's mother, Susie, and with his sister, Josephine, so they could see the body for the first time. And the body was missing.
What time was this?
Oh, that was probably early morning, 4 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, it was after 4:30.
4:30, yeah.
Approximately around there.
Yeah, in the morning on the 18th. That's how we discovered the body was missing. The family was never even notified. And we know that Clayton has done everything possible to prevent us from having an autopsy. We had made arrangements for perhaps the finest pathologist in the United States. He was a professor of law, professor of medicine, and the coroner for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to fly in and conduct the autopsy. But of course, what Clayton prefers is to have his commissioned BIA autopsist in Scotts Bluff, who I believe is expert at hiding evidence, conduct the autopsy.
Can you come in? You are Johnny Wilchenberg, Johnny Parkes.
Hi.
I want to put a name down there for you to contact. You don't have to take our word. The director of the hospital there is Mr. Cayous, C-A-Y-O-U-S. Contact him.
C-A-Y?
C-A-Y-O-U-S. He was very unhappy about this.
Is he a doctor?
No,
he's an administrator.
All right, But he's a mister rather than a doctor.
Yeah.
He's a PhD.
Shut up, John.
We'll see if I can scrape up $330.
When did you get here, Dennis?
Let's see, I got here yesterday afternoon around 1:30.
Well, what happened? Who shot him?
Well, that is what we are determining now.
But all you have to do is ask Eastman who shot him. Now, that's really not a big investigation. It wasn't done by 1,000 people with guns. It was done by a police officer. You must know the answer to that question.
Well,
if you want any assistance from us, we're going to have to understand it's a two-way street. And if all this secrecy is going to continue, forget it, there's going to be a lot of problems.
There's no secrecy about it.
Who shot him?
Eastman's up in Rapid City now.
At
making
a press
statement,
conference.
Stating all the facts, I assume, that are available for release. And
you don't know what he's going to say?
I haven't talked much with Dell. I talked with him yesterday, but I haven't talked with him at all today, so I don't know what he is going to say.
Didn't inform you. None of them.
You've been here 24 hours and he hasn't told you to investigate the shooting of Pedro Bissonnette, and he hasn't told you who did it yet.
Oh, yeah, I know who did it, but I'd rather let him release that information. He's going to do it in the press conference, and I'm not sure.
You think the attorney for the family should hear at a press, read a newspaper about what the cop here says happened, rather than talking to someone from the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice who are having a conference with about the case? That's how we should find out.
That's in the newspapers. You don't need to get it from me. I think the newspapers are correct, and the statement has been released. I'm not real sure of the guy's first name, which is I'm not going to say.
How about Joe
time.
Clifford? Does that ring a bell?
That name rings a bell, but not real sure if Joe Clifford is the correct name. I don't know whether his name is if Joe is, in fact, is his, you know, real given name.
What are the circumstances of the shooting? You know that?
I know what officers have reported.
How many officers were there at the time?
Again, I think this would be more proper for either for Mr. Clayton or Mr. Eastman to release.
Well, they haven't told us anything. We've asked them.
Well,
nothing, absolutely nothing.
It's not really my position to make revelations as to the investigation, which is still ongoing. And to the best of my knowledge, at the scene of the killing, there were two officers present. To the best of my knowledge, that was all that was there. As I say, we have not completed our investigation, so I don't know if, in fact, there were any other persons who may have been present. Now, if you're talking about who was present from BIA, there were two officers, but I don't know
what kind of
any other persons were there.
What kind of a weapon?
Well, again, I think that's a matter of public record, is a shotgun.
Shotgun. And the pattern for the patterns that FBI agent Lattice just had in the room that you were in, which was Eastman's office about 15 minutes ago, were they fired from the alleged killing weapon?
That I don't know. As I was telling you as we came by, I do know that a shotgun, those were shotgun patterns, but I couldn't tell you whether it was the same weapon, a similar weapon, I don't know.
You saw Lattice carry the weapon out and put it in the trunk of the car,
right? I saw a weapon carried by Lattice, yes.
Yeah. Well, would they be testing a different weapon to see what the original weapon would fire?
Well, see, it could be that the original weapon may be already taken into evidence, and for perhaps our own purposes of our own investigation, to understand the, you know, the approximate distance and so on, possibly another weapon could be used just to give some approximate ideas, to give some clues.
What was the approximate distance?
That I don't know. I really don't.
Well, you did look at the pattern.
It was under 20 feet. I would estimate under 20 feet, and certainly beyond, I would say between 10 and 20, but I wouldn't.
You see the pattern on Pedro's chest? Any idea?
I haven't seen the photographs, and I didn't observe the body yesterday.
Less of an area than a rectangle of 4x6 inches. Seven shots.
4x6?
Yeah, less than that. I guess you know that Eastman was saying that an officer pulled a pistol, drew a pistol, and fired. Drew a revolver.
He
said it on two separate occasions that he drew a revolver, Eastman, until Eastman discovered that we had photographs of Pedro's body. And then all of a sudden it became a shotgun. Are you familiar with that?
No, not at all. Well, that's the first time I heard that.
That's the fact. You read the Rushville paper, a guy conducted an interview with him, and also...
That was today's paper.
Is it today's
paper?
Yeah, today's.
I was up at the store and I saw the Rushville paper there, but it's like last week's paper. Or,
I don't know.
Well,
is that paper?
I didn't buy it. I saw the headline, but I didn't even read it, so I don't know what the Rushville paper says.
Okay, well, that was the original story.
I've never heard
the original Eastman story, as he gave it out to the wire services somehow, was that a revolver was drawn by the police officer. And that was the story. Until it was discovered that we had gotten to the hospital and taken photographs of Pedro's body before the body was taken away. And then all of a sudden, and I confronted Eastman with that when the body was removed, and I spoke with him on the phone, and he said it was just one wound. I said, one wound? He said, yes. And I said, there are seven wounds there. He said, how do you know? I said, because I saw the body and I photographed it. He said, seven? I said, you know, how did that was done with one shot? He said, well, it was a shotgun. That's when the story started to shift at that point. And the original record in the hospital said a gunshot, one gunshot bullet wound in the chest. That's disappeared now, of course.
Now, is the PHS hospital records you say that are missing?
They've shifted. Yeah. Just as everything will in this case, as you know, you've been through this before.
How many pages do you detect missing?
I don't know how many are missing, but that...
And from what record was it?
The emergency
Emergency room.
Record book. They evidently just rewrote the page.
Now
it says shot. Well, that was after the FBI agents were there.
Did person see this?
Yeah, oh yes. Person saw it. We discovered today the new designation, and we know that the FBI agents were there looking at the book yesterday.
Now, are you saying that pages were removed and others were substituted?
I don't know how it was done.
But what are you saying? That pages were removed?
Oh, yeah.
Documents all
there?
The
original document is no longer there, and there's now another document.
Mr. Athies, who sent for you?
I was requested by several people. U.S. Attorney, BIA requested a civil rights investigation, and you know, no one specifically requested me, but they did request the civil rights investigation be conducted along with the other investigation here to determine whether there was, in fact, any violations of Pedro Bissonnette's.
Well, you were here before, Dennis, and you took a lot of statements from a lot of people. Has anyone been prosecuted based upon anything that anyone has told you?
There have been, if we're talking about those original complaints arising out of the wounded knee, during the occupation of Wounded Knee.
Well, anything. The things that happened before then, the shooting at Siebert Youngberg's house, since then, that whole period, there many, many complaints were made to you. Has anyone been prosecuted yet?
There, to my knowledge, have been no prosecutions.
Well, what
civil rights matters. Let me say civil rights. That's the area I'm in.
Yeah, well, what hope is there that anything will ever happen by giving you information, Dennis?
Well, I think that you can... You may not be assured personally, but I can certainly assure the public that a thorough investigation will be done, and prosecutions will occur when we have evidence to establish a likelihood that a crime has in fact occurred, that we can have, you know, reasonable belief that we will successfully prosecute.
Siebert Youngberg's house was shot at. For 14 hours, we couldn't get the Porcupine police officer, the BIA police officer in Porcupine, Lee Weston, to come over. The shells and tracks of the automobile were right there, were right visible, and the shells were there. They almost killed a young girl. The bullet went through the window, and she just happened to bend down just the second that bullet was fired, and went through the window where she was standing overhead and through another window, and the glass shattered on a little baby, you know, because I told you all this.
Right, we investigated.
The very day that it happened, I told you about it. And you said you're going to send the FBI over there, and I went over there, and they didn't come. The BIA police came 2 hours later, and they walked all over the tracks. They didn't take any photographs. They said Eastman was coming with a camera. He never showed up with a camera. And they radioed. He said, no, he couldn't find a camera. So the BIA police walked all over the tracks, obliterating them.